Good afternoon, fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from the capital of Free Washington, Spokane Valley, deep in the heart of God's country in the American readout, the staging area for freedom and liberty, in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind this story and the news behind the news. This is the year we take our freedom back, and we got to wake up and wake our friends and neighbors and family members up. Because our hope is not in man, but in Jesus Christ, and we can't end in prayer. We must also move to action. And folks, with the news cycle that I'm about to break today, there are plenty of opportunities for action. And as James 4:17 admonishes us, to one who knows the right thing to do but does not do it, to him it is sin. A mantra this year, watching everything from the Republican leadership at the national level to what's going on down here at the local level. And we're going to cover a lot of it today. But on the positive side, the spirit of this of 1776, the spirit of 76 is alive and well in, well, Northeast Washington and North Idaho at least, but I know it's alive and well around the country. But we saw it on display in Priest River, Idaho. The spirit of 76 is alive and well. And folks, that should encourage all of you. And now from the front, your daily intelligence briefing on the international front. Where do we start? Let's start with Iran. 150 fighter jets from China, J-10 fighter jets, Israeli technology. After ordering refueling planes last month and planning missile tests. And after the Ayatollah Ali Khamenei released a 416-page guide to destroying Israel and railing against the United States despite the nuclear deal. And the Russians want in on the party. Now they have Russian warships docking in Iran. Folks, it's chaos in the Middle East right now. And also on the international front, ISIS issues a very chilling warning to the United States. Quote, soon, comma, very soon, you will see. And this is also what was said on here. I want to read some of this stuff because, you know, folks, we got a local law enforcement officer here in Spokane County who does not realize what the real threat to America is. So I want to educate everyone out there on what the real threat to America is, and it's Islamofascism, okay? And here is one of the things that ISIS published. And this is from the Islamic State Hacking Division, okay? This is their official, that's what they call it, their official site. Just like they spy on Muslims, we are spying on them, watching their employees, watching their soldiers, recording their movements, and taking their location information and passing it on to the soldiers of the Islamic State. Then they say, quote, this is war. What did you expect? You think you can bomb the Islamic State and we don't do nothing back? And that's their grammar, by the way, and English. And then the next quote, after somebody asks, what exactly does that mean? Quote, you will see when the U.S. military and government personnel start getting beheaded in their own homes. I'll read that again, folks. You will see when U.S. military and government personnel start getting beheaded in their own homes. Folks, they're talking about veterans right there. They're talking about veterans, and they're talking about terrorist attacks inside the United States of America. It could not be any more clear that ISIS is now, just Islamofascism in general, but ISIS in particular now is directly threatening the United States of America. And oh, by the way, as our border is a complete disaster right now, we have people coming across the southern border from countries like Pakistan, Russia, and by the way, Russia means Chechnya, okay? Pakistan, Afghanistan, Libya, Egypt. Folks, this is a fact. Nobody can dispute it. Unless, of course, you work for the Inlander and you're not very well read or very well educated, then you might try to dispute it. But these are facts that nobody of rational sound mind disputes. Nobody does. Folks, this is a direct threat to the veterans of this country. And what does one of our local law enforcement people say? Well, I'm going to get to that here in a minute, but unbelievable. It's out there plain as day. Also on the international front, something we've been expecting for a very long time. And by the way, people have said, oh, these are conspiracy theories. It's never going to happen, right? And we're watching this stuff happen that we talked about 7 years ago on the radio. I'm going to pull up some of my old commentaries on some of this stuff and play it for people. My goodness, we talked about currency devaluation. We talked about what the Chinese would try to do as far as trying to crush our own currency here in the United States. And somebody Facebooks and says, oh, it's not, you're fear-mongering. It's not as bad as it is. It's not a currency war. Folks, the Chinese devalued their currency 4.5% in 3 days, and they may do it again tonight. They've done it three straight days. Why are they devaluing their currency? Well, first, they're trying to prop up the bond market because when that happens, a lot of money and a lot of investment will flee to bonds. But second, they're preparing, they're taking their currency down so that they are more competitive than the United States, and then every other country has to devalue their currency. That, by economic definition, is a currency war. And I am tired of these ignorant liberals out there who have no idea what the heck they're talking about, try and say, oh, there's no such thing, you're fear-mongering. Folks, Americans need to know this so they can prepare their families for what's about to happen. Not telling Americans what's about to happen means you hate them. If you love somebody, you're going to warn them when things like this are about to happen. And folks, the Chinese devaluated their currency in 3 days, 4.5%, and they may do it again. In fact, I think they're probably going to do it again. And what that does to U.S. exports, what that does to U.S. competitiveness. Folks, Washington State is directly trade dependent on China. Dramatically. It is going to affect us dramatically very soon. And I had economists, but I had members of the intelligence community contact me yesterday via a couple friends and tell me that this is an enormous problem and this could be dramatically detrimental to the U.S. economy. And I'm hearing it all over the place at the highest levels. We've got to take this stuff seriously. The Chinese are taking this seriously. They've hoarded gold. They're devaluing their currency. And when the U.S. tries to compete, the Chinese can bring their currency down far enough where it's mostly, they can't, it's not totally right now, but could be mostly backed by gold. And they're in a massive, massive competitive advantage over the United States of America, folks. This is a currency war. And we already have a full-blown cyber war that's going on, and I'll get to that here in a second. On the national front, they have not still figured out who coordinated the attacks on the fiber optic grid. 11 separate attacks in California. Now, these are coordinated attacks. This comes 2 years after there was the coordinated attack on the power substation in Northern California. And I don't think people understand how absolutely vulnerable we are. If they take out one of those high-voltage transformers, they are very, very difficult, number one, to manufacture. It takes months, if not years, to get those things manufactured and shipped to the United States and assembled and then put in and installed. And they don't have spares lying around. Our fiber optic grid, critical. And they're difficult sometimes to repair. Folks, they're probing our internet grid infrastructure and our electrical grid infrastructure. And there are hacking attacks in the hundreds, if not thousands per day in the United States emanating from China and Russia. Folks, I don't know how else to describe it. The English language says that is a cyber war. I don't know how else to describe it. There's no other way to describe it unless you want to keep your head in the sand. And that's happening right now, and they have not figured out who was behind these things. And believe me, they're expending a lot of energy to figure it out. And while all that's going on, Homeland Security now is shifting funds away from immigration officers. And despite the fact that illegals now, according to Breitbart, account for 30% of murders in many states. And the president plans to give amnesty to 9.6 million more illegals, in defiance, by the way, of a court order in Texas. And if that is not enough, Planned Parenthood is maximizing profits on body parts. The most innocent among us, and folks, we are going to investigate the University of Washington and the research they are doing there on baby parts. I spoke with a legislator today. We are going to investigate this. And then there's the chaos going on in Ferguson. Folks, any one of these individual issues should be a headline for an entire week, and we have them all going on at one time. And it gets even more interesting when you come to the regional front, where in Priest River, Idaho, we had a veteran where the VA sent him a letter saying, "We've deemed you incompetent. You now can no longer possess, own, buy, or sell a firearm or ammunition." This is despite no opportunity for this veteran to appeal. This is despite no judge, no jury being involved. This is despite a doctor checking the wrong box 8 months ago and not evaluating this guy for 8 months until, and get this, until August 10th here, Monday, the next business day after the protests up there in Priest River, Idaho, a doctor sends a letter, the same doctor, "Oh, he's fine. He's competent." Then the VA visited his house, I believe it was yesterday or the day before, and said, "Yeah, we're going to recommend your competency be restored." Folks, bureaucrats do not have the authority or the right to do that. That's why our system was set up the way it was set up, so a judge and jury were the ones that ruled on these things. Unbelievable. And the Veterans Administration is running away from this as fast as they can. And we had a bunch of people say, "Oh, that Veterans Administration doesn't have the authority to do this, da 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 da." And lo and behold, we have recorded one of the head directors of Veterans Issues in Idaho saying on tape, quote, "If he's worried about his guns, then he should hide them in the back shed and not wear them on his hip," end quote. So this guy knows that if any VSO, any VA field examiner comes to the guy's house, knowing that letter's there and sees a gun, they have to report it to authorities for confiscation. So they try to say, well, the VA doesn't have the authority to confiscate. No, they may not, but they do have the authority to report for confiscation. And that is a disingenuous comment back from the VA. And by the way, there was a local news station here who tried to say that these are professionals that have deemed Mr. Arnold incompetent. If a VA doctor checking the wrong box, waiting 8 months to finally follow up with somebody after there's a protest in front of the guy's house, is professional, no wonder the VA is in such a mess. But not to be outdone on the regional front, the Washington State Supreme Court today issued an order further finding the legislature in contempt for not fully funding basic education, fining the state of Washington $100,000 a day to be put into a basic education account. So basically what they're doing is they're budgeting for us. Okay, that's what that means. And calling on the legislature to go into a special session. So folks, what the Supreme Court is essentially trying to do is order the legislature to do a tax increase. The Supreme Court has completely overstepped its bounds. This is a total violation of separation of powers because only the legislature has the power of the purse. Number one. Number two, only the governor can call a special session. So the fact they're lobbying for one in a court order is beyond the pale. So this morning, I requested that articles of impeachment be drafted for the justices of the Washington State Supreme Court for intentionally, willfully, knowingly violating the Constitution of the state of Washington, throwing our state into a constitutional crisis intentionally, and doing so after, get this, both the governor and the attorney general have said that we did a great job funding education this year. And by the way, they're both Democrats. Folks, this is outrageous conduct by the Washington State Supreme Court. These are not black-robed philosopher kings and queens. These are elected judges, and they are subject to the will of the people, and they are subject to impeachment for gross violation of the Constitution of the state of Washington. Because if we don't stop them here, folks, if we do not stop them here, where does it end? What else can they try to order the representatives of the people to do? And it gets even better on the local front. Now, we called last week for a citizen oversight committee of our sheriff for several reasons. One, he had a $2 million lawsuit settlement against one of his deputies and the department. And there's the ongoing case of Ryan Holick, who was hit because one of his deputies was going through a residential area without lights and sirens on. This is the same sheriff who endorsed Democrats against Republican, very good standing Republican candidates here in the last two elections. This is a sheriff who was being investigated for assault outside of a venue where he was questioned about what he was doing with the Pastor Scott Creech case, where Pastor Scott Creech was murdered on his own property, and they did a $2 million settlement for that lawsuit. Now, some people may say murder is too strong a word. When you look into the facts of the case, it's not. And the fact is, they settled the case for that wrongful death. And this sheriff, who is all about passing legislation on integrity, hired this guy who had strangled somebody in California prior to coming up to Spokane County. And then this guy lies about his outside employment because he had a second job on his forms against, and everybody admits this, against the current department policy, and nothing happens to him. Wait a minute, what happened to the integrity thing you were championing in the legislature? And this is also the same sheriff who was investigated for pumping public gas into his own car. Folks, then he does this Inlander article today, which we're going to talk about a little bit in the show. And on this Inlander article, he compares Christians and constitutionalists to ISIS. Folks, you got to read it. National media has already got a hold of this. It is absolutely one of the most outrageous, irresponsible, unprofessional things I have ever seen in my entire life in politics. Folks, this guy is becoming unstable. He's becoming unhinged. Comparing constitutionalists to ISIS, Christians to ISIS. And I want to say something on a personal note here before I get to our guest. Folks, I fought terrorists, Islamofascists, on the ground in Iraq. I lost a man in battle on the ground in Iraq. He was on a mission, actually, to do a medical clinic and actually help local Iraqis when a huge, huge 500-pound bomb blew up about 6 feet away from him. Now, he was a Christian, and according to the sheriff's definition, would have been a constitutionalist. That is outrageous to me. He would even make such a comparison and slander our veterans and spit on the graves of our veterans like that. And from a personal standpoint, I think this warrants his resignation. And I'm going to be calling on people all over the country to weigh in on this Inlander article and to weigh in and demand the sheriff apologize to our veterans, apologize to the constitutionalists among us and the conservative Christians among us, and immediately resign as sheriff of Spokane County. Enough is enough. This guy is absolutely out of control. And he claims that the constitutionalists are violent, and he's the one that was investigated for assault. He's the one whose policies have now ended up with two dead people. Two dead citizens, constituents of Spokane County. I am absolutely tired of the demonization that is going on, because I've seen it before, and I'll tell you where I saw it. I saw it where totalitarian regimes would demonize groups of people so that they could prepare those people to persecute them. And the fact that this sheriff has done this, and there's a picture of him stepping on the Gadsden flag, is way over the top. And he needs to be held accountable for it. Now, we need to be respectful of the office. We need to be respectful for emails and comments that we send in and phone calls that we make. But we also need to be firm that this behavior is absolutely unacceptable, is contrary to the Constitution of Washington State and the United States, and will not stand in our community. And that is the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that's been praying for the radio show. Go to Facebook.com/Patriot Radio US. Like the page. Share it with your friends and family. And by the way, we were called an echo chamber, a very small group of malcontents that are constitutionalists in this country. Let's prove them wrong. Like the page and share it with your friends. Also, if you want to donate to the show, I've been having a lot of people ask about that. Thank you. If you want to donate to the show is funded by the campaign, so you have to go to VoteShea.com. You click on the donate button, donate there, and help keep Patriot Radio on the air. It costs about $1,000 a month to stay on the air with Patriot Radio. So please help us to do that. And thank you to everybody that's been asking about it. Well, I am very proud to introduce my guest today. He's started Liberty for All here in Washington State, one of the foremost activist patriot groups in the entire country, and one of the most successful. But more than that, he is of Irish descent and a great friend. Anthony Bosworth, thanks for joining me on Patriot Radio today.
Thanks for having me on, Matt.
So, wow, where do we start here? Let's start with your take on the Chinese devaluation that's going on. I mean, is this something we really need to be concerned about?
I would believe so. I mean, I'm not an economist, but the way I see it is all they got to do is just tip the scale a little bit. And, there's a lot of economies, not just the American economy, that can't withstand it. And then once they get past that tipping point, there's no way coming back. We've got to bounce off the bottom.
I agree. Also, the fact that we're so trade dependent on China, especially here in Washington State, I mean, that this is a big deal for them to devalue currency, because it automatically takes, any sort of level playing field and completely tilts it one way.
Exactly. And, let's just play off of what the governor's office or our governor's office said earlier this year when we had an issue with the Chinese flag flying in our capital. His complaint was we could have affected the trade with our state. He was concerned about Chinese trade with Washington State at that time. Now, if the Chinese economy goes down, they lower it intentionally, it will definitely affect Washington State. I mean, our own governor even said so when we played with their Chinese flag in our capital.
I find it interesting, too, that the communist China, which has done more to kill and persecute tens of millions of people, documented fact, right, including Christians, you know, is not considered an issue, especially by our, you know, I'm sure our sheriff probably doesn't even think that's an issue. But for a lot of the liberal left, they don't think that's an issue. Oh, well, you know, we have to trade with China. You guys are going to, you know, that's not right. Look, we could do trade with Vietnam. In fact, a lot of companies are now starting to open up manufacturing facilities in Vietnam because they don't have anywhere near the human rights violations that China does. Now, I'm not saying Vietnam's great. They have some horrible things they did. But if we're talking differences here, and we're talking countries we actually want to do business with, I think we got to take a look at this kind of stuff. And by the way, they flew that Chinese flag over Easter weekend, which was a slap in the face to Christians here in the United States.
Most definitely. And every veteran that ever put their life on the line to defend this country from communism.
Our country's upside down right now. It's right is wrong. Wrong is right. It's how do you, you know, where do you start? You know, that let's move to the Supreme Court. You know, the Supreme Court is essentially going to try to tell us we need to raise taxes. They're going to order us to raise taxes. Now, they have absolutely no way to enforce their order. I mean, what are they going to do? They're going to try to tell the state patrol to arrest the legislature, whom the state patrol is actually the security for? I mean, how is that going to work? What can they do? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, my number one thought when I heard that, Matt, was they're not ordering our legislators to, you know, defining us, what you said, $100,000 a day. What they're really doing here is it's not a fine. It's outright robbery of the taxpayers. That's our taxpayer money that has been put into budget for other things, and now they're going to withdraw. I mean, where does people think that $100,000 a day is coming from? It's coming from the taxes that they've already taken from us. It's robbery.
It is robbery, and it's lawlessness because they aren't even respecting the bounds that are inherent to our system, where everybody knows if you're taught from a little kid, you're taught about our form of government, that the legislature has the power of the purse. It was always meant to be that way, so no other branch could usurp, and it would be a check. In fact, there's many different articles, commentaries, essays, especially in the Federalist Papers, on that point exactly. And here we have the Washington State Supreme Court doing this. And I'll tell you right now, I just got off a phone call with Republican leadership talking about this issue. What are we going to do? And we are drafting right now articles of impeachment. And the second thing is we need to look at seeing if we can cut the salaries of our Supreme Court justices. Maybe we get some of the money from them. What are they going to do? They're going to say that's unconstitutional? Where does this end?
Exactly. And, you know, one thing we need to look at here, too, I mean, and not move so fast, but look at what's happening, is the power of the purse is the teeth. It's the weapon of legislation. It was the weapon granted to them to control tyranny. When they seen it, they could control that and stop that tyranny with the power of the purse. And now we have a Supreme Court trying to take the power that was given to the legislatures to actually control tyranny, to stop it. They're trying to remove that ability to control it. You know, it's not just a matter that they were overstepping their bounds. It's a matter they're trying to completely, nullify the legislators.
Yeah, I mean, what would our job be anymore? You know, I mean, if the Supreme Court can do that in that area, everything else is tied to funding too. Where does it stop?
It wouldn't. Not if they were able to set that precedence. They could do it in anything. If the legislators stepped forward and protected any constitutional right, what's to stop the Supreme Court from coming in and say, well, no, you've got to do this. You've got to come to this conclusion or else we'll fine you $100,000 a day. There's no checks and balances left then.
And, you know, this is kind of a commentary for the entire Obama administration and radical communists that we have in the White House and throughout the country. if you think differently than they do, then you're going to pay a price for it. Now, right now, the price is just money. The price is maybe getting smeared in the Inlander or the Spokesman Review. But eventually that moves to full on and changes to full on persecution. And that's what I'm concerned about. I mean, these guys are literally following a path where you take away somebody's conscience, their right of conscience, you take away their ability to speak back on it. Then you try to demand, force them to think a particular way. That is a dangerous road to go down.
Most definitely.
How do you fight this? What are your thoughts on how we can fight this and what's been effective? You were instrumental in organizing patriots to get up there to Peace River, Idaho, and stop the latest attempt by the federal government to do another form of gun confiscation. And it worked. The government backed down and ran from that as fast as they could. What do you think we need to be doing? What's your take on what the average person listening right now throughout Eastern Washington, North Idaho, and Northeast Oregon could do?
Well, I'm not going to come at this the way it's been come at for 40 years here with the, you know, the generic get involved, because getting involved isn't enough anymore. We've got to act. We've got to move forward and stand that line. Yes, I understand in what we do, everybody's approaching that line at a different speed. You know, they have a different purpose of getting there. But all God-loving, Christian, patriotic Americans need to get their head up, pull that chin up, and look around them and start heading to that line. Whatever it may be, there's thousands and thousands of fights for our liberty going on right now. Find one that you have a taste for and get to the line. Respond. If you are in a position where you can't respond halfway across the country or the state or anything, help support those that are putting boots on ground. Get there. Get supplies there. Get funds there. The number one key in this is the people are the ones that hold the power. And if the people don't wake up and don't get there, they're going to keep trodden on our liberty. But one thing that has proven over and over since we've been in this fight is when the people show up, they get results every time.
Every single time. And that is the power of the people. Taking the power back, being the government again, because we are the government, we the people of the United States. I don't see exactly where this ends, except in some very bad places. And I'd like to talk about the Inlander article here in just a second. This is Matt Shea on Patriot Radio with my special guest, Anthony Bosworth, who is the co-founder of LFA, Liberty for All, one of the great activist organizations in the entire country, one of the most successful as well. Everywhere there has been a success pushing back on the federal government, on the local level, regional level here, LFA has been a part of it, done a great job, Anthony, with that. What's your take on the Inlander article? Because it's not just about labeling Matt Shea as this extremist, racist, whatever, constitutionalist, terrorist, comparing me to ISIS thing. They're labeling everybody. They're labeling LFA. They're labeling all patriotic Christian Americans.
Well, let's just start with their cover photo. Their cover photo is a complete disrespect. People need to understand, regardless what liberals today wants to call the Gadsden flag, they need to look back on the history of it. That was a flag of one of our Marine Corps, of the Marine Corps, of a unit within the Marine Corps. Those were our Marines that died back in the 1800s that flew that flag. And now they have a picture of this, immortalizing this sheriff, trotting on a flag that we have held so high, saying, don't tread on me. And they have a picture of the sheriff, a tyrannical sheriff at that, trotting on it, taunting the American patriots, the American Americans in general. You know, they're disrespecting some of our Marines doing it. The humorous part about the photo is that they give the sheriff a big head. You're right. You're right.
I saw that. I thought that actually was probably the most accurate part of the entire article, was the big head on the sheriff. But how, I mean, we had this back in the 1970s, this idea that they were peace officers, not law enforcement, but peace officers. And how is allowing yourself to be put into an article like that, comparing constitutionalists to ISIS, stepping on the Gadsden flag, how is that bringing peace? It's inciting people. In fact, I think he's trying to bait people into doing something so he can play the victim. Because this guy is one of those blame everybody else victim type personalities. And I think that's what he's trying to do. What are your thoughts?
I would agree with you on that there. I've spoke with him several times and been involved with several conversations with him. And the one thing that is true to his pattern that he's done every single time with news articles, when any citizen within his district has been killed by one of his deputies, if there's been any political rivalries, anything, he always claims the person is lying. Regardless, it could be man, woman, or child. If they disagree with him, they're automatic liars.
Automatic liars, and it's their fault. This pastor who was killed, wrongfully killed, on his own property by this deputy who was hired after strangling somebody in California, who then lied about his outside employment violation of department policy, was never fired for that part of it, by the way. He was fired later. Finally, after years, but was not fired for lying on the form. And during the investigation of this, they spend almost 200 pages besmirching the reputation of this very well-respected pastor in the community of Spokane Valley. I was just absolutely flabbergasted at that. And they did the same thing with Ryan Hollick. They tried to blame him for what happened in the collision, even though the deputy was traveling without lights and sirens on in a residential neighborhood, again, in violation of department policy. Now, there are great deputies that work for the Spokane Sheriff's Office. Half a dozen have left because of the policies of this sheriff. And there are still great deputies there, and so we've got to make sure we separate the great deputies that are there for the right reasons with the ones that are not. And this sheriff's policies that are literally costing people their lives and his failure to enforce these policies. And, you know, compare this, Anthony, with what you saw up in Priest River, Idaho, with Sheriff Wheeler, who stood on the line and said, no bureaucrat is going to take away anybody's constitutional rights. That's going to be through a court of law. I mean, it was so refreshing to hear that. It's like the tale of two sheriffs, and they're not that far as physically, geographically apart.
No, they're not. And, you know, the other thing we need to articulate here, too, is Sheriff Wheeler did not hesitate. He didn't have to think about it. He didn't have to take a couple days and talk to attorneys and lawyers and his insurance company to do it. He didn't have to talk to the law enforcement union. He knew what was right. He responded. He came out there and not only stood with the combat veterans and the disabled veterans and the people of his county, he moved. I mean, he responded quickly. He knew in his mind and heart what was right, and he responded.
He absolutely did. And boy, did they back down from it. And you know what? All the people, all those citizens backed that sheriff. They backed that sheriff because they asked him a question, where do you stand on this? And the sheriff, instead of, you know, reacting, you know, viscerally and yelling at them and running them down, he just answered it very clearly. I stand with the people. I stand with the Constitution.
Exactly. And, you know, let's kind of flip it around here a little bit. Let's take the exact same scenario if we had a disabled combat veteran in Spokane County. And the Patriots and the people and a state representative showed up to stand the line, and we would have had to deal with a tyrant like Ozzie. If we would have had to deal with a tyrant like him, what could have happened would have been astronomically different. It would not have been over within a day. It would not have ended very peacefully. It, you know, the response of the sheriff could have dramatically changed the outcome of that. And that's
absolutely
why we need to get people to understand the most important elected official in your county is your sheriff, because he can come stand the line with you when you come stand there. it changes everything when your sheriff stands with you.
It does change everything when your sheriff stands with you. Changes everything. And the community is brought together. There's no division. Here we've got a sheriff who comes out, you know, and publicly talks about people and calls them liars in public, etc. I mean, just violates virtually every rule of civility when he's out in public. Was investigated for assaulting somebody after one of these events where he was questioned. It's just, this is the kind of stuff that you cannot make up and that should alarm every single person listening to this radio program. And these are all documented facts, very well documented facts. So when the sheriff comes back in the article and tries to basically smear by implication, you know, compare constitutionalists to ISIS and mention racist groups, and then in the next breath mention constitutionalists, which, by the way, is a KGB technique. It's called framing. General Mihai Pacepa wrote an entire book on this called Disinformation. This technique of framing and changing how people actually were in the past. You know, I mean, he's accused many different people of many different things. But it's interesting that he's not really got a lot of traction. In fact, this is actually going against him now because it's everybody else is saying, hey, this actually is happening in America. We got to do something about it.
Exactly. Yeah, we really do. And the worst thing for the American people, and, you know, people are going to probably get tired of hearing me say this, Matt, but the worst thing for the American people is to have that kind of tyrant at the local level.
And that, I think that's why people have got to run for office. They got to run for local elected office, and they got to get involved. And we just have to get involved if we're going to turn this thing around. Now, toward the beginning of the show, I mentioned that the sheriff, based on this latest article, needs to resign, needs to apologize. What are your thoughts on that? And are there other things that people can be doing to share their strong displeasure with being compared to ISIS by this local sheriff?
Well, number one, we need to start at the point where it happened. The public needs to get a hold of that sheriff, and they need to put the sheriff on notice. We did not appreciate that. We are not terrorists. We are American citizens. We're here defending our God-given, born liberties. And we do not need an elected official out there trying to criminalize us for simply doing what we have a duty at birth to do. And so I would say start with the sheriff. Put him on notice. And then by all means, get involved of getting him out of there immediately. Don't wait until the next election cycle. He is a threat to our liberties. He's a threat to our lives. We need to get him out of there immediately.
And you know how many citizens I've had come up to me very privately and say, you know, they've related their own stories of how this sheriff has treated them personally, yelled at women, yelled at mothers who have disabled sons. I mean, it is unbelievable. Unbelievable what he has been doing. And I just got a message actually from a friend of mine who's involved in motorcycle clubs and political activism on that side. And, you know, it goes from motorcyclists to stay at home moms. Everybody's been affected by this guy. And that's where Americans need to understand. Everybody listening to the show needs to understand it can happen, and it is happening in America. It's not some theoretical thing or conspiracy theory. This stuff is happening right now, folks. You're being demonized for loving the Constitution. You're being demonized for being a Christian. You're being demonized for loving freedom and liberty. And Anthony, you know, we've talked in the past about Irish history. The parallels are striking, aren't they?
Very much so. You can almost follow it like a blueprint.
So what can the people expect? I mean, what are the stages? What happens next? Where do you think this is actually headed?
Wow. It could go 100 different directions, but it's not the 100 different directions that it can go. It's where those 100 different directions all end up. If we don't do something now, it's going to end up in a place we do not want. It's going to end up a place with a mess so large that our children, and now hear me out when I say this, and because I say this and it shocks people all the time, what we are lazy and afraid to fix and stand for today will surely cost our children their blood to fix it. And people need to understand that it's gone so far past fixing, if we don't do something now, that our children will have to give their blood in defense to fix what we just willingly set by and let happen.
How do you answer the charge? Because there will be people that will say, you guys really are violent. You guys, really, I mean, this is despite the fact the sheriff was actually investigated for assault. His policies and his failure to investigate and his negligent actions in hiring a particular deputy resulted in a dead pastor. Okay, let's besides that, they call us that believe in freedom and liberty, us that believe in the Constitution, we're violent extremists. And it's just a matter of time before we're just acting exactly like ISIS. How do you respond to something like that? Because it's so outrageous, so completely unfounded, such a clear ad hominem attack, clearly fallacious, just on the basic principles of logic. How do you respond to it?
Well, us as our team, the way we respond to it is the proof's in the pudding. We have filed grievances in writing, but by standing, by looking them in their eyes over and over, and every time the only violence that was present was from their side. We have not once got violent. We've looked down the barrels of sniper rifles right here in the good old USA, Washington State, Spokane, the city of Spokane, looked down the rifle barrels of tyrants, of bureaucratic terrorists, for us simply standing up for our rights. So the proof is in the pudding. All people got to do is open their eyes and look around. The violence is being perpetrated upon the American way of life, the American liberties, by these bureaucratic terrorists. Let's jump back to the VA forcing, having the authority to take weapons from a veteran, because it kind of links in there. Yes, there's nothing on paper that gives the VA the authority to go in, raid the house, and take the weapons. But here's the key. They don't do it themselves. They get a hold of tyrannical, non-constitutional loving sheriff, and they have them do the dirty work for it. That's how they force it on it. They go to these puppets of theirs, and they have them do the dirty work.
Well, so let's talk about this a little bit, because you had 7 sniper positions at a peaceful rally in downtown Spokane. You had a strike team a couple of blocks away in vans, and some other things that I don't want to give away, but there were other elements that were being brought to bear. And this is all over a peaceful rally of what was it, 100 people, 200 people?
Just right at 100, maybe a little over 100.
Okay, so a little over 100 people. And there are sniper rifles being pointed at women, at children that are peacefully protesting in America. And you know what that tells me, Anthony? That is a training issue. Number one. Number two, that is an attitude issue. Number two, because the sheriff here is responsible for the training, all the policies, and the fact that his deputy felt so comfortable, because the term constitutionalist is used derisively in the training, especially training put on by the Southern Poverty Law Center. His deputy was so comfortable in using the word constitutionalist that he said that the MRAPs were for constitutionalists. And this all points back to the training and the policies of this sheriff. This is what the problem is to me, is the buck stops with him on all of these things. And then I want to get your reaction to this. Then, as I was reminded by one listener, that literally the sheriff said, quote, and this is at Central Valley High School, and this is on tape, it's on YouTube, okay, so you can see it for yourself. He said, quote, with the strike of a pen, I can take your freedom and your life if I choose. Now, who's violent? That is a violent, aggressive, offensive statement that this sheriff made in front of a high school crowd and adults that were there as well. What's your reaction to that?
Exactly. I mean, look where the threats are coming from. And, you know, there's this thing that calls the I'm trying to reach for it here. The rules of dominance, I think, is what it's called. If we were a violent people, you know, patriots, constitutionalists, Christians, if we were a violent people, it would necessarily say that we would be in control now. For one, we have the organizations, we have the belief system, we have the guns, and we have more people. If we didn't honor the Constitution as much as we do, we simply have everything we would need to be violent. But because of what we believe in, God and the Constitution, we don't go there. We're not the violent ones. We could if we wanted to, if we weren't, you know, God honoring constitutionalist, constitution believing patriots. But we have proven, again, proof in the pudding, that we are nonviolent because we have the means, but we don't.
Wait, so let's highlight this. So, Anthony, you're a military veteran. You served overseas in combat. You were on the ground. I've served overseas on the ground. And one of the things, both in Bosnia and Iraq, one of the things that I was trained all the way back in the late 1990s was that when you get into situations on the ground where you have a crowd, one of the things that you do is you de-escalate. You make it so the crowd is not more amped up than they are. You don't bait them. You don't come out and do anything. You de-escalate. And yet with this sheriff, he doesn't even understand that with the MRAP, that one of the best things to do is to de-escalate. You don't bring an MRAP out. You de-escalate the situation. You don't bait the Christians, the conservatives, the constitutionalists by having a picture, stepping on the Gadsden flag, calling them liars and extremists and comparing them to ISIS and racists. You don't do that. You de-escalate. And he's not doing that. Why do you think he is not doing that? What's your, and this is, I know, asking for some speculation, but what is your opinion on why he would do that?
Well, I think we don't have to speculate too much here because in his speech at the school, he pretty much said what he wanted to happen. He didn't say in those words, but he pretty much said it. If something happens to my deputies, I hope you all hold these people accountable. Keep in mind when he said these people, he was talking about Christians, he was talking about patriots, he was talking about constitutionalists, and he was talking about Washington citizens and American citizens. He said, if any of my deputies are harmed, I hope you hold them accountable. He pretty much tells us what he's expecting, what he's wanting. He's wanting to taunt people into a point where he can point back and say, see, I warned you. See, this is why I'm right and they're wrong. They become violent. Well, as I wrote to the federal government, because a lot of your listeners will know that I was kidnapped and I was put in a cage by federal agents, and I was questioned. And man, now I'm starting to get emotional all over this. Man, I'm going to have to just let that one go for now.
That's all right. So you were held without being allowed a lawyer, etc. And people said this wouldn't happen in America, and this has happened in America. It has happened in America. Well, Anthony, we're running out of time. If you can, plug your website for Liberty for All, how people can get a hold of you, follow what you guys are doing.
Our Facebook page is Liberty for All 3%. And then our webpage is libertyforalllfa.com.
Perfect. I'm going to go ahead and post those things on the Patriot Radio Facebook page if anybody wants to take a look at it. Anthony, you are a wonderful patriot. I really appreciate your grassroots perspective. And, you know, we both put our lives on the line for this country, and that's what this is all about. This is just another battlefield in politics and pushing back against tyranny.
You know, the one thing I like to say is God has brought me full circle within life. He deployed me overseas, 18 months in combat, give me this training, and one of the most honorable places I have ever served as a patriot was right here on our home soil doing what I swore an oath to do. And so it's become a complete circle for me. And, you know, we do the best we can. We continue to fight. And, you know, and another thing I like to say, too, is, you know, God is our armor. You know, we have no choice but to go forward and let God guide us.
That's absolutely right. Well, God bless you, my friend. We'll have you back on again on Patriot Radio. Anthony Bosworth of Liberty for All, keep up the fight.
Thank
well,
you, Matt.
We
God
talked.
Bless.
Yeah, we talked about my ideas for this, but I'd like to get your ideas on Patriot Radio's Facebook page of how you think we need to get the sheriff to resign. I'm calling on his resignation formally. I'm going to be announcing this on Facebook here in the next few minutes. And I'm calling on him to apologize as well for his actions, his completely unprofessional behavior with the article that was put out. It's going to take all of us, folks, to restore a God-honoring constitutional republic, and it's going to start at the local level. We're going to have to do this, and this is happening in America. And Anthony's right. We are being set up almost where he says, I'm going to hold you responsible. How about we hold him responsible for the citizens that are already dead, already hurt because of his policies? And the way we can do that is to get him to resign. Well, this is Matt Shea. Remember to do everything you can to defend freedom locally. And may God bless all of you. May he make this generation the greatest one.